At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm your co-host, Darren Bunch. It's one of those days for a special episode, but as is often the case, it's a sad episode for the golf world. RJ Harper was a giant. He had the nickname Mr. Pebble Beach, and he was simply one of the truly great gentlemen we've ever known in the world of golf and beyond. Mitch and I had the privilege of sitting down with RJ in his Pebble Beach office back in October 2014. It's a day and a conversation that we'll never forget, and we hope a fitting memorial to this great man who passed away at the age of 61.
Pebble Beach. Come on, tell the truth. As soon as I said those words, whether you've been there or not, the name brought up images and classic historic moments from one of the truly iconic destinations on the planet for all of us who love the game. Today, we connect you with one of the most important, yet perhaps least visible, of the forces behind Pebble Beach, and its continuing reign as a world-class golf destination for traveling golfers, the PGA Tour, and major championship golf. A man who for almost three decades has lived his Pebble Beach dream. Here's our recent interview and a truly inside-the-ropes conversation from Pebble Beach with RJ Harper, Executive Vice President of Golf and Retail for the Pebble Beach Company. Enjoy. Glad you're with us here on Golf Getaways and thrilled to be at Pebble Beach with someone who I would dare say has certainly over the last three decades more intimate knowledge of what this is all about here, RJ Harper, the Executive Vice President for Golf and Retail, the Pebble Beach Company. Hi, RJ.
Thank you, Mitch. Good to be with you.
It's great. It is fantastic to be here. In a spot that a lot of people obviously would never get to be, which is sitting here with you in your office. Most people come through, they get out on the golf course, they walk around. You, just to get a little bit of your history and what's so interesting about your history here, you were a great athlete in other sports. I'm going to remind you of this because I bet nobody's done this in a while. But you went to Rhodes.
That was a long time ago.
You were a great athlete, a football guy, a baseball guy. But golf somehow kind of snuck in after that time.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started here. That's an interesting story. And almost 30 years later.
Yeah. 30 years. Here. You remind me, three decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Getting older there.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. It's been a wonderful 30 years, to be truthful. And no, you're right. I was an athlete in college at Rhodes College, a private university in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown.
You're at Lynx.
At Lynx, that's correct. Yeah. And I'm still associated with the university. It's great. In fact, we host their golf teams out here in the spring, which I'm very proud of, to see the red and white and black out here every year in the spring. But I played high school sports, and I played high school golf. I didn't play high school golf, but football and baseball were my sports. But I kept it alive a little bit. And then I went to graduate school in Pennsylvania and with the desire to coach at the college level. So I was a football coach. That's what I intended to do. Long story short, I decided to look into golf as a profession. Started playing golf very seriously again when I was in Miami, Florida, coaching and teaching. This was 30 years ago. My wife and I at the time said, if this is what you want to do, let's go where golf is capital and golf is king. And so we hitched our wagon and honeymooned across the country and landed here in a Volkswagen van 30 years ago with a goal to be the head pro and then ultimately build a career here. And I've been very, very fortunate to be able to do that here and sustain that over 30 years through four ownership changes here and with just an evolution of things, U.S. Open championships, all the rest, all the great things that this place represents. So I've had a hand in that for many, many years, and I've been very fortunate, very proud to be part of that.
You mentioned the king. We might as well get this out. As we sit here today, it's actually, I think, fitting that it's Mr. Palmer's 85th birthday.
That's right.
And he's been an integral part of this since 2004. Tell me about what it's like to actually have that kind of relationship. He was somebody that was key for you when you started really getting interested in golf. Yeah. I know that Arnie was, when he was playing, yeah, kind of a guy you looked at and said, this is a cool guy. And
well, you remember back in the days, we had three channels on televisions, mm-hmm, black and white television set, three channels. And I would, for some reason, I just loved to watch him play. CBS was broadcasting tournaments. It was in black and white. He had his, you know, he had guns and he had, you know, just had a flair about him. And I said, I'd love to do that. So I picked up a golf club and started to teach myself to figure out how to do that. And so that was how it started for me. So it really, the origin for me in a career in golf started with Arnold Palmer. No question about it. Just emulating what he did. And then, you know, some many, many, many years later, I worked for the man. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I called him today. I called him down at his Bay Hill office. It's the 85th birthday today, and the world's celebrating the King's birthday. Very, very cool. But it's been a great relationship. It's unbelievable to have a guy like that as part of your ownership team, but have a personal relationship where he comes out, we tour the golf courses, we take a look around, we tweak this and that. He's an open book as it relates to course design. He'll adopt your ideas as much as he'll challenge us to accept his. And it's just been a joy to do and to work in planning for the 2010 U.S. Open with Arnold on board, mm-hmm, and now to do it again leading to 2019. It's just a thrill a minute to have an involvement with the King.
You mentioned that, and I think it's important. We'll just touch on these as we go. The nature of what Pebble Beach is all about, and certainly what most people have gotten to see on TV over the years, if they haven't been lucky enough to come and play here, are the big events, whether it's the AT&T National Pro-Am, whether it's the U.S. Opens, and this will be the sixth one,
right,
coming up. And so 2018, the U.S. Amateur is coming, 2019, right, which is obviously a key year in Pebble Beach history.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about, we're moving toward 2015, but as you know, it gets here quicker than you think.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on relative to the U.S. Open and preparations, changes to the golf
course? It's interesting. Your timing's impeccable, Mitch, because not only did we mention Arnold's connection to here and his 85th birthday, coincidentally, today marked the first official U.S. Open meeting that we've had leading to the 2019.
It must be.
So we're talking about organization and structure. We're working with the USGA on, mm-hmm, some other things. All of that started today, which was quite coincidental. But yeah, that's been the legacy of Pebble Beach, is major championship and a pedigree for major championships. And that is, I mean, you just can't put a price tag on what that really means. But it's been wonderful for us. We hosted the 72 Open at Pebble Beach. We've done it either every 10 years or every 9 years subsequent to 72, and we're hosting it in 19. That came about, coincidentally, it is our 100th, mm-hmm, anniversary. And go back to 2000 U.S. Open Championship. The USGA had asked us to host their centennial in the year 2000. So we broke with tradition,
which is every 10 years,
72, 82, 92. So instead of 2002, we broke tradition, hosted the Open. That was their centennial. They wanted to have it at Pebble Beach. We're honored to do that. Well, they were very gracious in permitting us to do the same thing, mm-hmm, for 2019 and bring the Open Championship to Pebble Beach in our centennial celebration year, which is really, really cool. And then right before that, we're going to warm it up by having the fantastic U.S. Amateur Championship back to Pebble Beach. And this will be the fifth Amateur Championship and the sixth Open in 2019.
And the history of that, I mean, going back to 29, going to Amateur, I mean, if you're into the history of the game, and I know people just come and they like playing, but if you're into the history of the game, there's very few spots in America that have the kind of relationship to the game that Pebble Beach does. Do you still, I know you're here and you have a lot of responsibility as an executive vice president and all you see, do you still get chills?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still feel?
Oh, we were going through binders last night, get ready for this U.S. Open meeting, and it just brings back all of this, not just all the work that we did and the gratification that we found and from putting on a major event like that, but you get flooded with all the memories of the things that have come and gone over, mm-hmm, time here. You mentioned 29 Amateur when Bobby Jones, right, lost. Mm-hmm. He was the medalist in the match play and then lost in the first round.
Right.
But then that created what ultimately was a connection with Alistair McKenzie, who mm-hmm. designed Augusta National with Bobby Jones. So there's lots of layers to all these events, and you yeah. can go back into rich history here at Pebble Beach, which is full of it. But things like that have a way of staying with you over time, and you build on those when you're building special events. Right. You carry those thoughts with you as you're putting on next events. And again, 2018 and 2019, we're really excited about that. But you mentioned AT&T's. Mm-hmm. You know, since 1947, we've been hosting the old Bing right. Crosby, now the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am, and it's fantastic. You know, and one final note on that: not only is it a lot of work, but a great, great feel-good story, because the Monterey Peninsula Foundation that owns and operates it works with Pebble Beach Resorts and putting it on. But together, there's a $10 million that's generated in the local community. In this small little Monterey County community, there's $10 million being distributed in local right. charities, where a lot of need is.
Well, we all hear about the charitable aspect of the tour and the events oh, yeah. that are generated, but you told me before we started that one thing you're proud of, you got an honor this morning. You were at a community, the relationship of Pebble Beach to the community, not just in terms of money, which is nice and right. great, but in terms of how the world views Pebble and the interaction of all those things together has to be really gratifying.
Oh yeah. Well, look, we're so blessed to be on a, mm-hmm. on the most magnificent piece of property on the planet Earth, and you live that every day when you get here. And what's easy to do is take that for granted, and we try not to. And part of being a leader in the game of golf, and part of being a leader, obviously, when people think of Pebble Beach, they know golf, they think of golf, they think of great golf and championship golf on a very special piece of earth. You know, we have a responsibility to the local community too, so giving is a part of that. And you mentioned an award this morning from United Way organization mm-hmm. to our CEO, Bill Piraki, well deserved, because he's a big leader in United Way support and participation from the 1,500 employees of Pebble Beach Resorts. And we do a lot for the local community that way, and it was nice to see that honor this morning.
You mentioned the whole nature of Pebble Beach and what it is. A lot of people who haven't been here don't realize all these other aspects of what Pebble Beach is. As the executive vice president of golf and retail, I expected that to ring because there's so much going on in your life. I'm amazed it's taken this long. In charge of golf and retail, there are so many other aspects to Pebble Beach, if you haven't been here. The retail shops, the spa at Pebble Beach, obviously the golf courses are a huge part of it.
Right.
How does that figure into your – you had such a career in golf.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there's this aspect to it too. How is that figuring into your life and how you see the totality of it?
Well, you know, let me first kind of have everyone see a glimpse of Pebble Beach they may not know about if they haven't been here before. When you think about a golf course, you think about a pro shop, you think about restaurants, and maybe there's a hotel attached. Mm-hmm. But this place is an extraordinary facility with an abundance of all of the above plus. You mentioned the spas. You've got a Conn & Ass five-star spa here on mm-hmm. property that we built some 13, 14 years ago. If two hotel properties that are rather large, the Lodge and the Inn, and a small boutique hotel called Casa Palmero, 17 retail outlets that mm-hmm. we're responsible for. And they're not just all golf. Many of them are non-golf. So we've got a real shopping extravaganza for people who come to visit. And we've got restaurants. There are 11 restaurants on site. It just goes on. We've got an equestrian facility. There's lots of things to do here. And you're right on some of the most magnificent coastline in the state. Right here on the Monterey Peninsula, so much to do, but that's what we have. I'm just very honored to be part of the stewardship. We have a senior team that works really hard here under the leadership of our CEO Bill Piraki. I mean, it's just a great team. We've been together a long time. You know, they came in with Arnold and that group mm-hmm. came in 1999, right on the heels of the U.S. Amateur Championship that right. we were last hosting. And it's just been a magic carpet ride with those guys for those many years. As I said, the group stayed together, so there's some continuity there. We keep looking for the next great thing to do. And the mantra here is to keep improving. And look, we don't do it right all the time. It's tough in the hospitality industry to do it all the time when the bar is so high, mm-hmm. expectations are so high. But we work hard to do so.
And the thing that I was thinking about this morning is the spotlight's always here. It's not like you can kind of fly under the radar. I mean,
no,
it's Pebble.
No question.
And so everything associated with it
no
is that way. Let's touch quickly if we can, because I know everybody, in terms of traveling golfers and destination golfers, they're obviously aware of Pebble Beach. They're obviously aware of Spyglass. They're probably the two names that they hear above all else. But
right.
Spanish Bay,
right.
An incredibly interesting and fabulous golf course. Just came off it a little while ago, walking and a true Scottish experience of the game. But there's also Del Monte and there's also Peter Hay.
That's right.
Which a lot of people aren't as aware of. But to me, is one of the great things is that they have the people have the ability to play all these golf courses.
That's right.
This is not a closed set.
No doubt about it.
You know, they're all, just touch briefly on the nature of.
So we have 81 holes of golf. You have nine hole Peter Hay golf course, which is really a wedge and a putter, but a fun experience. You know, it was born. Peter Hay was a former head pro at Pebble Beach many, many years ago, and that was built in his honor and named after him. And that little nine-hole golf course is a gem to play, but it was built for kids to learn. So we've got a little centerpiece right here in the middle of Del Monte Forest and captures all the rest of the golf, and but that's a nice little focal point for that. And then the other courses that you mentioned. Spanish Bay was designed by Tom Watson, who's the Ryder Cup captain here in next week, and we're going to see he and his team bring back the cup to the United States. And but Tom Watson designed that golf course. It opened in 1987 with Robert Trent Jones Jr. and Sandy Tatum, who was with USGA at the time. So so great tradition of British Isles Scottish golf that Tom brings, because he absolutely loves that. You know, he's won the Open Championship overseas many times. So so he brought back the love of that and built this golf course. We're very proud of that. It's around the coastline. It's just magnificent dunes. Mm-hmm. Lovely place to play golf. Spanish Spyglass, you mentioned, and Pebble get most of the accolades. But Del Monte Golf Course in Monterey was built in 1897. It's the first golf course built west of the Mississippi River. So it's still alive, doing well, and you know, very proud to have those four golf courses plus Peter Hay in our rota of golf courses.
And great people associated with them. William Fowler, you know, at Del Monte.
That's right.
There's so much. Again, you can dig into it get into
there's
all
a lot
those,
of great history.
Those things.
So, well, that golf course was host to kings and queens and royalty, et cetera. That hosted more of that audience than Pebble Beach did. Pebble really didn't get on the map until when Bobby Jones came in 29, as we talked about earlier, but it really didn't catch fire until the late 60s and 70s. Everyone played Del Monte. That was the place to go play golf.
Right.
And the Open Championship in 72 opened it to the world through television. You know, and then it's
you got a pretty good one.
Full,
you got
so
a pretty good one in 72.
Yes,
also.
We did.
It was a good way to open it.
Exactly right.
With Jack.
Yeah.
Let's, as we close this off, and to me, I always look at somebody like you who has this experience. We said almost three decades. I mentioned to you that Billy Mack, the great golf balladeer, wrote a song, and he said, "Grant me one more day at Pebble Beach." That was his mantra as far as coming here. I did a little figuring. This is really going to make you feel old. But most people, if they feel lucky and they get here, they might have a day or two or three or a week. But in almost 30 years, you've got about 11,000 days here at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Not all of them playing golf, certainly, working, making sure everybody else is enjoying what they're doing. You still have, to me, kind of the fire and the passion for this place that you might have 11,000 days ago. Because we feel it. When we walk out here, trust me, if you haven't been here, when you walk here and you step through that arch that says Pebble Beach, you literally feel it. You've been here a long time. You still feel that kind of passion. Do you get a chance in your busy day to go out to your favorite spot, which you said is the sixth green, where you have that unbelievable view?
Right.
Do you do that? Do you take the time to just go out?
You know, I used to
have
that.
Time?
I used to do that quite often. The job's evolved. Life gets complicated as we get older, so you don't have those moments as often as you'd like. But you remind me of that, which is nice, so I appreciate that.
Well, that wasn't my goal.
But you reminded me of that. Like I said before, the one thing you can't do is take this place for granted, so you got to stay on top of it. And so you know, we have a responsibility to stay on top of it. I need to remind myself to take a step back occasionally and do those things just to breathe life back in it. But I've never lost a passion for it. And when I do, it's time to, you know, it's like anything else. You lose that. It's time to move on to something else because you're letting a lot of people down. So I still have that. I'm going to be here through the Open Championship and who knows after that. But it's been a great 30 years. Thanks for reminding me of how old that means. But as I said, it's been a ride. It's been a great ride, and wonderful people that work with me and are associated with us here at Pebble Beach, and I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Well, I can speak for all of the people that might be watching and listening and say thanks. You don't get to meet certainly most of them, but I guarantee you that anybody that's been here, anybody that'll come, anybody that watches appreciates what you do and your stewardship.
Thank you very much. Whole team. It's a great team. Yeah. Thanks very much.
And thanks for being with
us. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.